Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Mountain Dew. And let me read you a definition. And by the way, Mountain Dew was not originally a soft drink. It involved hard liquor up in the mountains. So just a little history there. Dew, listen to this. Water droplets condensed from the air, usually at night, onto cool surfaces near the ground. Dew forms when the temperature of the surface falls below the dew point of the surrounding air, usually due to radiational cooling. And before we read any verses, I'm going to try to tell you where I intend to go today, and then I'm going to see if I can get there myself. The thing that is extraordinary to me about dew is this. Dew really doesn't fall. It doesn't rise. It just appears. It just forms. And dew is all over the scriptures. And we'll see in a minute, we'll read some of these scriptures where dew shows up and then the heat of the sun comes up and it disappears. But something happens to vegetation specifically when dew shows up in really arid climates, really dry places where you think, how does anything live here? How does anything survive in this environment? There has to be moisture that shows up, does its thing, and then disappears, and somehow those plants make it. Now, this is where I'm trying to go. You're getting dewed on, whether you know it or not. And that's another sermon, the other thing you were thinking about. You feel like you're getting that kind of dewed on, but the kind of dew you're getting to even be sitting here or listening today is a kind of dew that shows up from God himself and sustains you. The sun may come out again. It may look like it's going to burn you to a crisp, but something is keeping you going along the way. And we're going to see some scriptures about this in the Bible. Go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27, verse 20. Let's jump in here in verse 26. This is about Isaac blessing his boys. Says, then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, and he starts in on this blessing. And the first thing in the blessing is this. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven. Now, why is it so huge? Because even if it doesn't rain, you say, well, it needs to rain for all this. At some point, it does need to rain, but it doesn't have to rain as much as long as the dew shows up along the way. And the comparison I'd like to make here today is this, that dew is, in a way, these shots of grace that come along and you think, God, I can't take this anymore. I can't stand this anymore. I can't take this heat anymore. There has got to be some refreshment, some something that re-energizes me, that sustains me through one more day, one more morning, one more whatever. And I'm telling you, he shows up. And if you stop long enough to say, okay, I see all the problems, I feel the pressure, but are you looking at all for the moments when he just appears and stuff happens? You go, where did that happen? Well, how did they know to say that? How did they know to send me that note? And it happens in all kind of ways. If I went through this room and I said, how did it happen to you? My dad called out of nowhere. My sister sent me a note. Someone at work looked at me and said, how are you doing? The third time. And I went, wow, you really do care. I sent a text to a guy just this week and had him on the brain. And, you know, at some point you have to act on what you have on the brain. Sent him a text, said, hey, just making sure you're still alive. Been out there, haven't seen him in a while. And we had a little exchange via text. And the last thing he texted me was this. Thanks for caring. Now, what did that mean to him? It meant he felt like he was probably all out there by himself. And maybe he had wandered off and maybe felt like nobody cared. Check on people. You say, well, I don't want to get in their business. That may be the very thing that they need. Just some simple dew appearing on their life. And they go, wow, I'm not by myself anymore. First thing in that blessing then, do. Go to Judges chapter 6. And I can't do all of Judges 6. I really recommend you go read this. I'm going to hit a few verses. This is some great stuff. And you'll know why I'm reading it here in just a second. Judges chapter 6. It's near the front of your Bible, table of contents. Find that. Judges 6 verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So these people were hiding from the Midianites. Interesting how sin causes God to bring stuff against you. And instead of running to God, you go hide. So it was whenever the Israel had sown, they'd plant their crops. Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, but they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So they're getting clobbered by their enemies, not coming and taking it, just ruining it. Then you go down a few verses, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon, which is who this is about, threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. It's where you press wine, he's threshing wheat so it doesn't get stolen, destroyed. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." If he's such a mighty man of valor, why is he hiding? So you say, "Well, I don't feel like what God calls me, a mighty man of valor. I don't feel that way." It doesn't matter how you feel. You are who he says you are. Now, this isn't all this positive thinking crap either, by the way. And I'm not talking about that. Oh, the God, get in touch with the God within you. If God is not in you, there is no God within you. And he ain't going to get in you unless you allow him to come in you. So don't be chanting all this garbage. Oh, the God within me. The only God I got within me is the one that entered there when I said I was a sinner, save me, come live in me, through me, and change me. Now I got some God to get in touch with. Before that, he was not in me. There was nothing good in me but me, and I was a mess. All right, keep reading here. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord," and this is where these phrases come from, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?'" All the things are true. And Gideon goes on there to say, you know, "I'm the weakest in my clan. I'm the least in my father's house." In other words, I'm nobody. Why is it God picks people that think they're nobody? It's not a bad thing, but, you know, take a deep breath and realize God has chosen you for something. If he picks you, he must think he can use you. So they go through this dialogue. He's trying to figure out why this bad stuff. A lot of times bad stuff just happens, but some of the bad stuff happening to us, we are bringing on ourselves. You cannot go around blaming God for everything that happens to you. Take responsibility. The whole chapter starts out, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. If you're doing evil and the consequence of that is coming on you, that's on you. Don't be wagging your finger at God. "Why have you done this to me?" So this goes on. Jump down to verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord put out, Gideon brought a sacrifice, put it on a rock. This angel zaps it. Look what happens. The angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. You want to see a miracle? There's a miracle. How do you explain that? So they keep this conversation, then jump down. Gideon is in. He does some courageous stuff even in this chapter. So God has told him to go out against the enemies. Go down to verse 36. 36. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor." So just a piece of wool. "If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." So when you hear people say, "Well, I put a fleece out." Okay, God, if you want me to buy this new Corvette, then let the, you know, whatever happen. Okay, we've all done these stupid things. If you want me to name my kid whatever, then let the Cowboys win Sunday. You know, just crazy stuff, right? That is a crazy thing. So He puts a fleece out. In other words, I'm going to test you, God. And he feels kind of bad, but you know how sometimes you get a little hesitant and you're like, God, I just need a little something, a little encouragement here that this is really it, because I'm a little scared. You say I'm bold, but I'm not. So he says to him, the first question here is, I want the dew to be on the fleece only, and the ground be dry, then I'll know that you'll save Israel. And it was so, look at verse 38, and it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. This is not possible, and the reason I'm reading this is that's not possible. The nature of dew is, when dew hits a place, it is saturation. It doesn't miss anything. So when he puts a fleece out like this, he knows what he's asking for, because you cannot focus dew on a piece of wool. God had to miraculously make it materialize right there on that wool. Then look what else happens. You say, well, he's all good then, right? Then Gideon said to God, now look, don't be upset with me, God. That's what it says. Please don't be angry with me. But let me speak just once more. I got the thing, man, there's a bowl full of water here. I get it. Man, I know you're probably gonna be mad at me, but just hear me out. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the, let's do the fleece thing one more time, okay? Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but all the ground let there be dew. Do you know how much God puts up with? Okay, you what? I got you fleece, you know, wet fleece, everything dry. Okay, now we got to reverse it. What does it take for us to believe God? And then you will say, well, I'm going to go back up in the chapter and say, well, if God's for us, why is all this bad stuff happening? What about all the miracles? Let me tell you something. If you are a Christian, the miracles don't get any bigger than that. You say, well, I don't know what's up with my life. God never does anything for me. You know, in the Old Testament, nobody ever was sure. They had faith in something that was coming. Messiah would come one day. One day would be that. So they died hoping, believing in something they never experienced. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, Old Testament. He would light on somebody. He would be with that person. But he didn't stay with them. There wasn't the guarantee that we have now that I will never leave you or forsake you. When you become a Christian this side of the cross, God in the person of the Holy Spirit moves inside of your body never to leave again. So I don't have to wake up or go to sleep and wonder whether God is with me. That is miraculous. You say, but how could God be with me? I was in a strip club. I was doing drugs. I did all this stuff and I'm a Christian. He's stuck. You pick up a hooker. You and Jesus picked up a hooker. You're going to sleep with her? So is he. You say, well, I don't like that. I'd like to leave him out in the car. Now, Jesus, you wait right here. I'm going to go do something really, really bad. But when I get back, I'm going to need a whole lot of forgiveness. So please don't go anywhere, because I'm going to need you in just a few minutes. No, he doesn't stay in the car. He stays in you, with you. That's a miracle. Because think of the places we've taken Jesus. Look what he puts up with. Living in me, living in you, living in us. It's not pretty, is it? So what does God do? Verse 40, and God did so that night. In other words, flipped it around. Everything's covered in dew. And that one little piece of wool, that fleece, is completely dry. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. God is God. God can do what he wants to do. And sometimes he does even what we ask him to do, trying to help us. But when he shows up, he shows up. And you say, well, I want him to show up big time all the time. Life is not that way. I don't need it to rain on me all day long, every day. That's not what I need. But I need some Mountain Dew every once in a while. I need a little something where I get by myself. And the Mountain Dew may come early in the morning when you steal away by yourself and you open the book wherever you open it. And you're reading along and going, really not getting anything out of this. And then all of a sudden, a little verse on the page starts to go 3D on you. And all of a sudden, a little something. How could God have known I would read this today? I'd be where I am today. And all of a sudden, it all comes to life. And little blossoms pop out. And your little old dry, miserable, depressed life turns into something alive. And then you get so overwhelmed with that, you get a little song going. And there's nobody around you can hear you. And maybe you whisper a prayer and go, we're going to be okay, aren't we, Lord? He goes, yeah, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. You're not going to fix it all right now, are you, Lord? No, not going to fix it all, but here's just a little Mountain Dew for you. Caffeine for the soul. I knew I'd get an amen on the caffeine somewhere. Go to 2 Samuel 17. 2 Samuel 17, 12. Listen to what this verse says. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. This is about overtaking an enemy, and the parallel here is we will fall on or we will light on him. The definition for this phrase, one commentary said, this is a very beautiful and expressive figure. The dew in Palestine and other warm climates falls fast, sudden, and heavy, and it falls upon every spot on the earth so that not a blade of grass escapes it. It is therefore no inapt emblem of a numerous and active army. And it was perhaps for this reason that the Romans called their light armed forces rorari. If you go back and study Roman warfare, there were different waves that would go in. Well, the rorari that would go in were light armed troops, but the root word of the word rorari is dew. So this group of soldiers that would come in would hit it so hard and saturate it so completely that nothing escaped. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is referenced in James in regard to prayer. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. He had authority to stop. He said, well, I can make it stop raining. Yeah, but you can't stop everything. If you make it stop raining and you stop the dew, there is zero moisture. Nothing's going to survive that. And God leads Elijah to tell Ahab, this evil leader, this is what's going to happen. And until I say it rains or there's dew again, nothing is going to happen. Now, what if God dried your dew up? What if he just said, you know what? I have tried. It is my kindness. It is my gentleness that leads you to repentance. But you know what? That has not worked. And I'm still pouring grace out on you and hitting you, trying to get you back. What is it going to take? And then things start to really, really dry up. What's it going to take for you to come back to him and repent and say, uncle, say, God, look, I'm wrong. You're right. Let it rain. Please, every once in a while, if nothing else, just bring the dew back in my life. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And this doesn't mention dew specifically, but the point is the moisture that comes. And I'll tell you why I'm reading this in a second. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. In other words, that's what your Father is like. Be like him. You say, well, I want to be like God. I want to emulate him. I want to follow him. I want to be who he wants me to be. If you're going to be his kid, then that's how he is. That's what he does for us. Because when we deliberately sin, we turn on him. And what does he do? He keeps loving us. He keeps blessing us. And then this amazing phrase, talking about the Father. For he makes his sun, S-U-N, rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, the reason I read you the dew thing about Gideon is that God can make one little piece of fleece have dew on it and everything else dry. He can do that, but you know what? He doesn't do that. God shows up globally, comprehensively, and people say, well, that must be a bad thing. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. We only think rain is bad because it spoils our weekend. Rain is good. City people are crazy. Oh, don't let it rain. We have a picnic. You know what? You ain't gonna have any food to eat if it doesn't rain on the crops to make you have food at your picnic. Pray for rain. And God says, you know what? It's my sun. It's my rain. It's my world. And I'm going to let this rain. I'm going to bless everybody and see if anybody gets it. So he's even showing up in the lives of people who don't even believe in him, aren't even thinking about him, but blesses them anyway. What is it going to take to figure out that this God loves us, is on his side? Simple verses like John 3:16. For God so loved what? The world, everybody. He even cares about the creation. You go back and read about Noah and the ark and all that stuff. God wiped out everybody but eight people, but saved the animals. He cares about this creation. Now, he doesn't care about it more than he cares about people themselves. Jesus died to rescue people. ultimately the creation itself that groans and travails, it talks about, will be restored. But ultimately he died for people. And he blesses you even if you don't care about him. Why? To try to get your attention, because it's appointed a man once to die, after that the judgment. See where the moisture is in your life. See where the blessing is in your life. See what he's trying to say to you every day along the way, instead of taking him for granted. One more, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and following. We'll read just a few verses in the beginning of this chapter. Titus 3, verse 1, here we go. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. This is written to Christians. To obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Anybody identify with any of that list? I can read you another passage to include you if you feel left out. Verse 4, but, describing the previous life, but when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I love the word appeared. You go back and read in history, biblical history, time, just in a spiritual context history. Before Jesus came, there were about 400 years of just absolute silence and almost darkness. And then, what did it say? The love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared just like that. A baby's conceived. God overshadows a woman. And what do the angels even scream out? Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, all men. This has come for everybody. Jesus has come for everybody, and yet we miss him. The ultimate Mountain Dew is a man named Jesus, and the dew got done on another mountain called Calvary. And I get a life, the biggest miracle I'll ever experience. If God doesn't do anything else for me in my entire life, he saved me, I'm good. Because I don't even deserve that. But he keeps showing up, just materializes almost out of nowhere on my little life and says, I'm here, here's a little something for today. Sufficient for today are the evils thereof, but I've got you enough dew for just today.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest, real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let's pray. And our Father, thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, your kindness, your gentleness that leads us to repentance. Father, first of all, for anybody who has been processing this along the way, and maybe they're not even sure there is a God, but they're kind of leaning that direction. But I pray that someone today, that their eyes have been opened, their ears unstopped, their heart broken, and realize their need for you, and just go, God, wow, I don't understand even what's happening to me, but there's something to this, or I wouldn't be feeling this way or thinking these things. So if you love me, and I believe you do, and if Jesus is God and a man, and he died on that cross, was buried and raised from the dead, and it's a crazy story, but I actually believe that's what I've been missing, then I ask you, Lord Jesus, to save me. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. Forgive me. Come live in me, through me, change me from the inside out, and show me how you intended for life to be lived. And Father, for those of us who know you and have taken the Mountain Dew along the way for granted and just need to stop maybe now and say, Father, you've been taking care of me when I haven't been taking care of you. You've been loving on me and showing up when I have deliberately run to a dry and thirsty land. I'm back. I thank you. Help me stay close by. Thank you for your gentleness, for your mercy, your kindness, just who you are. Father, you're the best. There is none like you, none above you, nobody compares. And I pray that we would be more aware of that every day that we live. And we thank you and praise you and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.